Hare Krishna.
I would request the devotees to speak on different personalities. Actually, see, there is a problem. What the problem is? Because I am here. Ultimately, all the devotees are preached by somebody, and they will. That person may be connected to me. So they may think that it may not be proper etiquette to only remember a devotee and not remember me. So we wanted this session slightly different, so that there'll be real fun to hear. So now I would like to speak for a few minutes, and then I would request other devotees to speak. And it is supposed to be something that is springing from the heart, which means it should not necessarily be diminished by official etiquettes of recognizing someone, because he's the president of a temple, he has been connected. So then everyone will quote my name and I'll be unnecessarily put to embarrassment. So you can even tell one name of one devotee. It can be your junior also. It can be your equal. And it can be someone who is, at the level of Prabhupada disciple or Prabhupada. It can be anybody. And it need not be only one devotee. It could be more than one also. I'll speak a few minutes and then I would request other devotees to speak. Omagyanatam randasinyananjana shalakaya chakshan milatam yanitasmai shri gurave namaha. Actually, three people greatly influenced my life personally. One is my father. My father gave me interest in religion. And Srila Prabhupada, I learned about Krishna Tattva from Prabhupada's purports. And from my spiritual master, I learned what it means to be a servant. So at home, there was a very wonderful atmosphere, very conducive for spiritual practices, the discipline at home, and kind of the pujas that would go on, and the neighborhood children and friends. Going to temple was our fun with all groups of people. So it was very nice atmosphere. So I would like to certainly very much thank my mother and father for offering me a human body and offering me a culture where I could gradually be connected to Krishna consciousness. They very carefully safeguarded me from vices and falling into bad association. And my father would abundantly bring many spiritual books of all organizations, and he would give. Whenever I wanted any gift, he would give. So once I saw in the market, I saw all the books of Ramakrishna. There were four volumes. So it was in my 7th standard holidays. I saw those books and said, I want all the four volumes. And immediately he got it. He gave all the four books. I came back and I completed it in a few days, all those books. So he was very favorable in allowing me to buy religious books and read. He was always very encouraging. He would provide all facilities for doing puja, bringing flowers and everything. So in my school days, I read one. In my 8th standard or so, I read one book. In Tamil, it's called as Naan Yaar. Naan Yaar means, who am I? That is the meaning of the title of the book. So on the cover page, there was only sky, picture of some sky, mountain, something was put. I didn't know. It was written by Vivekananda. So anyway, I opened the book and I read it. After I read about 5-6 pages, I was shocked to know that I was God. That book says that you are God. Who am I? You have to know that you are God. It was like a big shock for me. I became a little frightened. I am God. Okay, even if I am God, I am supposed to control everything in the universe. How can I control sun and moon and everything? This person, this author is telling something very strange. So it was bewildering. Then as I read further, it was even offending the different forms of the Lord. As if they are simply imaginary or they are temporary and everything. Then as I read further and further, the book made me very angry because it was offending the personality of Godhead. So I tore the book into hundreds of pieces and I threw it on the loft. And I was crying, and my father came and asked, what is this? Why are you doing this? You only wanted the book, he said. I said, no, this book, they are doing some kind of manipulation. I don't like this book. This book is just blaspheming God, I said. So after that, when I read Ramakrishna's books, they were actually glorifying bhakti. They were talking about controlling, you know, kama, krodha, lobha. It was very interesting, the philosophy. I would read it over and over again, those four books. After that, I tried to get many, many more books in the same series and everything. So then I understood, actually, I am not the body, I am the soul. There is mind, which is a great devil. And life after life, we have been suffering, cycle of birth and with everything. And I was most moved by one of the incidents mentioned in the book, when Ramakrishna, you know, he takes a chopper to cut off his head when he is unable to get darshan of Kali. So when I read that, I was very moved. Oh, such a great bhakti he had. Because he talks a lot about bhakti. But to my great shock, towards the conclusion, when I came towards the end of the book, so when he was, of course, in the last 6 years of his life, he assumed a bhava kalas Radha Sohobhav, where he assumed the mood of Radharani according to his followers. And the last 6 years he spent like a gopi and all. But he was bedridden, at least his followers have written, saying that he said, that Rama who came, that Krishna who came, I am the same Ramakrishna, he said. So when I read that, that came as a little surprise to me. So then I met many sadhus to ask questions about what is the difference between some human being claiming to be God and when God himself comes as Rama or Krishna and they come. So I asked this question, many people couldn't answer. When I was a small boy, when I was about 7-8 years old, I was living in a village from where we shifted to town. There used to be one very old Vaishnava, one Kumbhakona Tayyar, we used to call him, one Smartha, but he was more of a Vaishnava. So he used to grow a long beard, and he would call all of us children, and he would tell us stories from Ramayana Mahabharata. So once he was telling about how Lord Rama was, you know, going to forest, and he was returning back to Ayodhya and everything. So that time, some elderly children, they asked a question to him. What is the difference between Ram and us? Can you imagine? Some children. So that time he said, oh, Ram has a spiritual body, he said. And his body is glowing like lightning. And it is imperishable. It will never die. And it always, the Lord Ram is always merciful. And he is spotless. You cannot find one fault in him. So he was telling all these things. So in that class, another boy, he asked a question to him about how this world was created. So he was telling about Brahma. I have a faint remembrance because I was about 6-7 years old at the time. All children, small, big, all children used to come. So he was telling about a lotus in which Brahma was born. And that lotus came from the navel of Vishnu. And then he told about Pralaya, how everything is destroyed. So I had a faint remembrance of this. So I had developed a personal conception about God in childhood by hearing from that devotee. But later when I heard about this, Vivekananda and Ramakrishna talking about God being impersonal, it was very disturbing to mind. But over the years, then I read different books like Shivananda, this, that, Ramana Maharshi and all. And many of them were saying about impersonal God. So over a period of time, I thought probably I have to change my understanding. God, it seems, could be impersonal. All are saying this. I used to always wonder, how can the ultimate truth be so dry? With no personality, no qualities, no attributes. So then, fortunately, in my first year polytechnic, I got a Bhagavad Gita published by one Srinivas Acharya, which was a Sri Vaishnava, Ramanuja Sampradaya. So I read that book. That book was a turning point in my life. Because it had many pictures of Vaishnava devotee who is lying down on the floor in the night and Lord Vishnu is showing hand like this, like a cone around his body. Lord Vishnu is protecting him. And the Vaishnava devotee offering puja for the Lord. Many pictures were there. That was like a life-giving book. I felt very joyful reading that book. I never knew that there are two classes of people, impersonalists and personalists. I never knew that. I was cheated by impersonalists a lot. And that book was like, I always, even right now I have it with me. It's a a book written by a great Vaishnava. So I read that book over and over again. And then again, when I read many impersonal books, I thought this is the only book I like the most. Because this book tells things about how to develop relation with the personality of Godhead. But that book also, it was just a translation of Bhagavad Gita, that's all. No purport. So I always liked reading the sections of Bhagavad Gita, like 9th chapter, 12th chapter. 9th, 10th and 12th chapter. Because that gave translation which was very sweet. It talks about the nature of the Lord, nature of devotee and all that. So, when I came to Bombay and came across devotees and met, one of the first things that moved me the most in ISKCON was Srila Prabhupada's Your Ever Well-Wisher CD. So when I was seeing it, I saw this Swamiji going to America and how he preached. And he was coming, singing in the front and all followers coming behind him. And singing Hare Krishna. You can see his intense singing in America alone, practically preaching alone. That was very, very moving. So when I read Bhaktivedanta purports of Prabhupada, that really opened the eyes. Amongst all the books, the book I love the most is Teachings of Queen Kunti. My most favorite book. Where I really got the understanding of who Krishna is, what is his nature, what are his activities, what is the complete understanding of God is given in Prabhupada's writings. So I was in touch with many devotees. There was one time when for the first time I went to ISKCON temple, there was a Radhakant Prabhu who was driving a car. So I would sit in the back side and we would hear the kirtan. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. You heard this? Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. So I didn't know whether it's a male voice or a female voice. It was a little confusing, but it was very nectarian to hear. So it was going on. You all have heard this? Till date, I don't know. Is it a male voice? Is it? Yamuna Mataji, is it? It was amazing, it was. So that was played in the car. So he was one of my first Shiksha Gurus, to whom I used to ask all questions in the car. And he was very, very friendly. He used to like arguing with students. That was his most favorite hobby. He saw that amongst all the boys, I was the one arguing about Mayavad. So he said, come with me in the car. he put me behind and he would be driving the car. And there used to be this mirror. In the mirror, you'll see me. So I will ask question that, you know, I have heard that God is impersonal. And he would ask me with big, big eyes in the, you know, the seeing in the specs. And so how can the soul be God? Tell me. And then he'd be driving. You know? He would be so jolly. And he would be, you know, smashing all my points very wonderfully. So I went to Juhu temple. There also he'll spend with me 4 hours, 5 hours. We will go to the beach and we'll sit. And he would have a lot of fun arguing. So exactly now I am realizing all the points he would say are from Prabhupada books. He had really thoroughly read Prabhupada books. He would argue like anything. So I'm ever eternally indebted to him because of introducing me. And actually, he would fight in such a way, at the same time, he will never get angry. That was nice. He will give a big laugh. Like, you know, he will say, I'll say, if the Jiva is God, and he'll say, how can Jiva be God? He gets a toothache and, you know, all that, he'll say. He'll give a big laugh. He would never get angry. So, later on, he got transferred to various places. I couldn't meet him. Then I met Mukunda Madhav Prabhu, Rasaraja Prabhu, Kapila Prabhu. These people are coming. And there is a Mahamantra Prabhu, who is now Maharaj, Bhakti Vishwamba Madhav Maharaj. They're all my favorites, devotees whom I met. Amongst them, Mukunda Madhav Prabhu is my most favorite Shiksha Guru. Rasaraj Prabhu, of course, used to give very nice lecture also, Rasaraj Prabhu. But I can't meet him often. He would occasionally come. Mukunda Madhav would regularly come. So he also, because we both were Tamil, he would speak in Tamil to me. You know? So he will tell many Tamil Nadu examples to convince me. So he would take me to the ocean side, ocean beach in Juhu, and there, hours and hours, once we had a very hard discussion. So I was telling about, you know, you are all saying Krishna is God. I think you are trying to give a biased purport to Bhagavad Gita, I was telling. Then he was quoting the Ishwara Param Krishna. So he was quoting that. Then I asked, where is it from? He said, Brahma Samhita. He said. Then I said, no, this is not very familiar to me. I said, it's not familiar like Vedas or Bhagavad Gita. Then he said, you think you are bigger than Brahma? Huh? He was asking. You know better than Brahma? So, then he took me to temple and told five devotees, this fellow, he is very impudent. Argues, he thinks he knows better than Brahma, he knows better than others. I quoted him, I told him, Shiva says this, Brahma says this, Indra says Chandra, everyone says this. And this fellow says that, you know, I cannot accept all this. He thinks he's better than all of them. You know? So every time I would go to Jhu temple, it would be like this, you know, take one devotee. But Mukunda Mahaprabhu was the one who gave maximum time. And his concepts are like rock-like, solid rock convictions he has. Very, very powerful. And the kind of understanding he gave based on Bhagavatam, the early days, is unforgettable. He put a very solid foundation in my understanding of Krishna consciousness. And I can easily say that it's only because of Mukunda Mahaprabhu I could transform from impersonal philosophy to personal philosophy. It became acceptable to me. Then I met Marasaraja Prabhu in his office. In those days he was president. I had many talks with him also. And this Mahamantra Prabhu, now who is Bhaktivishnu Madhav Maharaj, he was one person I was most amazed. He was also in one of the first classes. Because when I went to the class, he was the one sitting, you know. And he was speaking amazing things about, you know, Garbhodaksha Vishnu and Brahma coming. I said, oh, this I already heard before. Somewhere immediately I recollected my old childhood days, and he said about creation. Then he was speaking about dissolution and Markandeya Rishi and all. He was speaking many things, amazing things. Then I went and asked him, I said, sir, you are from America, how do you know all this? So he said, you know what he said? Because you Indians are not studying, we have come to teach you. Because you are not studying all these things, now we have to study and teach all of you, he said. That made a very big hit in my heart. Later, of course, although I was talking, many times I would meet devotees in Juhu and they will ask me, when are you shaving up, when are you joining? I would say, no, not now. I was also attracted to BI in those days. Because they had office and I was attracted to scientific preaching. But I thought it's too much science, you know, I was feeling. Then I wanted to have a blend of science and religion. So I would go sometimes to BI, get some materials from there, and then sometimes come to temple and spend time with devotees. I was doing like that. At last, by some divine arrangement, I met Devamrit Prabhu. Actually, one purport Prabhupada says in Bhagavatam, Satam prasangan mamavirya samvido bhavat bhavanti hritkarana rasayana katha. If you read that, in that purport Prabhupada says that one cannot know that Krishna is a person and Krishna has such amazing spiritual qualities. You cannot know it unless one has developed attraction to a devotee. You will read in that purport. Unless you see these qualities in devotees, you cannot actually understand the actual qualities of Krishna. You can only imagine them. So when I met Devamrit Prabhu, he exhibited very amazing qualities in his preaching days. All the inspiration that I have now in youth preaching comes from seeing how Devam Prabhu used to preach in IIT, struggling. Actually, he was the role model for all of us to join the ashram full time. Because you would see him, he would come with a car, Maruti car, you know, he would open the bag, get the mala bag out and books bag out and prasadam, big dabba he will bring, and the other boys would help. And I used to be wondering, there used to be boys wearing shorts, you know, doing sports. When Devam would come, they would come running and they'd offer obeisances and again go back to play sports. You know? But they had so much respect for him, you know. He had relation with everyone practically. And the boy would come, Prabhuji would come, and Devam would give a pat on the back, you know. He would put his hand on the shoulder and walk up to the class. And Devam would ask them, so would you like to join the class today? Rohan or some name, he would ask them. And the boy would say, no, Prabhuji, I will come at the end. For prasadam, I will come. Haribol, he would say, and go. And he was so friendly. So this, once I saw this, and that was a deep, amazing thing for me. Oh, really? I saw this boy, he was saying this, and immediately looked at Devam Prabhu's face, how he is responding. And his smile never changed. His rays of smile remained as it was. That means this fellow doesn't దుఃఖేషు అనుదిగ్నమన సుఖేషు విగతస్పృహ యునో యూ నెవర్ గాట్ డిస్టర్బ్డ్. దట్ కేమ్ ఎ సర్ప్రైజ్ టు మీ, హౌ దిస్ ప్రభుజీ ఇస్ నాట్ యాంగ్రీ, దిస్ ఫెలో డజన్ వాంట్ అటెండ్ ద క్లాస్, జస్ట్ కమ్ ఫర్ ప్రసాదం. సో వన్స్ యూ ఆస్క్ ప్రభుజీ, ప్రభుజీ దోస్ డోంట్ కమ్ ఫర్ ద క్లాస్ డోంట్ గివ్ దమ్ ప్రసాదం. సో దెన్ హీ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ టు మీ, హీ సెడ్, నో నో రాధేశ్యామ్, అకార్డింగ్ టు శాస్త్రస్ ఎనీ వన్ హూ ఈట్స్ ఈవెన్ ప్రసాదం, హీ ఈస్ ఆల్సో ఎంటరింగ్ ప్రసాద్ సేవయ. యూ ఆర్ సెలింగ్, హీ ఈస్ డూయింగ్ దట్ సేవ. టుడే హీ విల్ కమ్ ఫర్ ప్రసాద్, టుమారో హీ విల్ కమ్ ఫర్ క్లాస్, ఈ సెడ్. అండ్ ఇట్ బికేమ్ ట్రూ ఆల్సో విత్ మెనీ బాయ్స్, కేమ్ ఫర్ ప్రసాద్ అండ్ లేటర్ కేమ్ ఫర్ క్లాస్ ఆల్సో. సో హీ వాజ్ వెరీ పేషెంట్, వెరీ టాలరెంట్, వెరీ వెరీ ఫ్రెండ్లీ అండ్ వెరీ ఫిలసాఫికల్. ఆల్ ద లెక్చర్స్ ఐ స్పీక్, ఐ గెయిన్ ద ఫిలసాఫికల్ ఫౌండేషన్ ఫ్రమ్ దేవాం ప్రభుస్ లెక్చర్స్. ఎర్లియర్ ఐ హవ్ మెట్ మెనీ డివోటీస్, ఐ హవ్ ఆర్గ్యూడ్ విత్ దెమ్, క్వశ్చన్ దెమ్, అండ్ ఐ న్యూ ఫిలాసఫీ ఇన్ బిట్స్ అండ్ పీసెస్. బట్ దేవాన్ ప్రభు గివ్ అ సాలిడ్ ఫౌండేషన్ టు ద కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్ ఫిలాసఫీ బై టీచింగ్ భగవద్గీత సిస్టమాటిక్లీ. వి బిగాన్ విత్ భగవద్గీత ఫస్ట్ చాప్టర్, వెన్ ఐ పాస్డ్ అవుట్ భగవద్గీత వాజ్ ఓవర్ కంప్లీట్లీ. ఎగ్జాక్ట్లీ వి అటెండెడ్, ఇట్ వాజ్ నాట్ శ్లోక వైజ్, ఎవ్రీ చాప్టర్ సెలెక్టెడ్ శ్లోకాస్. సో మైసెల్ఫ్ గౌరవ ప్రభు వి వర్ అటెండింగ్ టుగెదర్ అండ్ ఇట్ ఎండెడ్. సో ఇట్ గేవ్ వెరీ గుడ్ ఫౌండేషన్ ఇన్ భగవద్గీత. సో యాజ్ వాజ్ టెలింగ్ యూ, దేవాన్ ప్రభు, I would see Devan Prabhu and then I would go to Gopinath temple and see Gopinath's face. So I would be able to relate very easily how much Radha Gopinath must be loving and how much he must be merciful, how much he must be a very special person. You know this verse, Kavim Puranam Manusha Sitaram. I used to always recite this verse even before. So whenever I would see the deity, I would recite this particular verse. So I would wonder, Kavim means Lord is the most mature. Puranam is the oldest. Anushasitaram, he is the controller of the whole universe. Anauraniyamsam is seated in every atom. So, Radha Gopinath would be very enchanting because of the understanding that he gave me. So, Prabhupada was always fascinating to me, right? Since the beginning days, I couldn't understand Prabhupada for quite some time till I met devotees. Because sometimes I would read Life Comes From Life, Prabhupada would be calling someone a rascal. Then I would say, why? This Swamiji is too cruel. He is calling scientists a rascal because I was so attracted to scientists. It was like he is calling me a rascal. It appeared like that. But another book I read was this PQPA, you know, isn't it? He read that book. In the second page only, Prabhupada talks about, you know, Krishna teaching the gopis. That was, I took a highlighter and highlighted that. You know? This was how God is teaching young girls. This is something wonderful. That, no. Saying Krishna is God and is teaching, and that Prabhupada says his material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. That one fact hit me very hard. And Prabhupada clearly said, loud and clear message, that one has to give up sense gratification. Only when you give up that, you can understand Krishna. And the ultimate goal is to go back to Krishna and enjoy pastimes with Krishna in the spiritual world. So, after I met devotees, Prabhupada's books became very, very clear. All my drive comes from Prabhupada's purports, drive for working, because two things. One is the clarity of Prabhupada's purport, another one is Prabhupada's sacrifice. These two things convinced me to dedicate my life to Krishna consciousness totally. Because all the other Babas and Sadhus I met personally and I read their books, everyone was just giving some hodgepodge. Prabhupada's books had a high clarity, no confusion. And later, when I started coming to Chaupati, it was much different experience for me in Chaupati. It was not like the experience I got in other places. I went to many other temples. How the temples would be generally, see, this is a good lesson for all of us to learn. I would go to Juhu also, I would go to other temples also. But there you go, you know, there is a book stall, there is temple, and there are devotees in the offices here and there. And if a devotee is passing by, you can meet. And if you have any questions, you can ask them. Otherwise, it was like visiting the temple and coming. You are alone yourself. I would go to the temple. Once I went to Juhu temple and sitting in front of Narsingadeva, I was chanting all my 16 rounds. When I first began 16 rounds, chanting. So it was like I was spending my time here and there alone. And some devotee, only when you tell them I am having some question, they will sit with you and you will talk. But when I went to Chaupati, it was a different experience altogether. When I went... When I started going there regularly, it was a very small ashram. It was not even half of this. It was very small. There were about only 7-8 devotees in those days, that ashram. So I would go, and practically everyone was available to you. You can meet and you can talk, and they were all like brothers living under one father. It was like that. Just like in your home when you go, how you feel? You feel there is elder brother, there is younger brother. The way they were living there, it was very amazing to see. In those days, the prominent devotees I remember are Devam Prabhu, Krishnanand Prabhu, Govind Prabhu, Shyamand Prabhu, and Radha Gopinath Prabhu. These are the people whom I used to see often. There were others also, 2-3 younger devotees. They were very, very... they used to discuss a lot of philosophy. Like, the things that touched me the most in my visit there is, night, they would all return at 10:30, 11, after preaching program. It will be completely dark in the ashram, devotees will be sleeping. So Devan Prabhu would be the last one to come. And then Radha Gopinath Prabhu would be coming, Shaman Prabhu, all carrying their bag and everything. And they would be standing like this, 2-3 of them together. How was your program? You know? How many people came for your program? They would be talking. And I would be watching them. I was very, very new and small kid. So I could see that these people are deriving a lot of delight in preaching. So in other places also I went, they also preach, everyone is preaching. But here the devotees are sharing about their preaching. And Devan Prabhu say, one gem came to my program today. I am sure he's going to become very serious. And then Radha Gopinath Prabhu would tell about his program, Shaman Prabhu would tell about his program, they would be talking. Sometimes it would go till 11:30, 11:45. After that they would go to bed and morning up again. So it was a very simple ashram with wooden cots and lockers. Below is the locker and on the top of the wooden cot you can sleep. So I liked that simplicity very much. I went to many places, I couldn't get the simplicity. Here I found simplicity. So then I asked the devotees, what is the procedure to join your temple? They said, oh, no problem. If you want to come now, you can come. Anyway, I met Maharaj and talked to him, and sent devotees and talked to him. But in Radha Gopinath temple, exactly as the senior devotees made a big difference to me, Govind Prabhu used to answer many wonderful questions. Especially with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I used to ask him many questions. Actually, I had different devotees to ask different things. Devan Prabhu, I would ask him scientific questions. And Govind Prabhu used to ask more questions on Lord Chaitanya and others. When I met Krishan Prabhu, we can only talk about the holy name, Krishan Prabhu. Actually, Krishan Prabhu will not answer any questions. Once I asked him some questions, I went with a list of 4 or 5 questions and I gave him. He went through that. He covered only 1 or 2 questions. He saw it. He said, I'll tell you a method by which you can get answers to all your questions. He took me in those days, I was only chanting 4 rounds or 5 rounds. Still, Radha Gopinath temple, I was introduced by Devamrit Prabhu, I was going. So he gave me 1 mala and he took another mala and 8 rounds we chanted together. So, after my quota was over, 2 rounds were over. Now I opened my eyes and saw, and Prabhuji was going. I didn't know how long he's going to continue. After every half round, I will see open. You never start. So then, at the end of 8th round, Krishan Prabhu asked me. So, you got answers to all your questions? Yes. No. So, then I was not saying yes or no. He said, see, because you are from IIT, you know, your brain is very twisted. You just chant the holy name, you'll get answers. And he said, if you didn't get answers, tell me, we will chant 8 more rounds again. I said, I got answers to this question and future questions also. Anyway. So in this I was introduced. That time Radha Swami was out of station. When he came back, over the years, of course, in Chaupari temple, for the first time I learned dancing. Before that I have never danced. I used to go to other temples, see the deities, see the devotees, chant. I still had the old impersonal tendencies. Even go to temple, I'd sit in like this, Yoga Mudra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. That was the only thing I knew. So, when we came to Chaupari temple, I saw they were dancing in different formations. Like, for example, making circles, I've never seen before. and they would be dancing like this, Harihara and Namakrishna. It was wonderful. Huh? So in the beginning days, certainly I used to be very shy when I first saw the devotees dancing. They would never pull anyone to the center. If a person is standing in the side, everyone knows this fellow is too sensitive to dancing. You know, he would be dancing in a corner, in the clapping hands. So nobody would pull you. That is the culture. There was a culture there. But I watched, and after some time, for the first time I saw Radhanath Swami himself dancing. He was very beautifully dancing. It was a divine experience to see him dancing. You know, in those days, he would be participating in 100% kirtans. He would be there. Now days have changed. I used to go in 91 there, 91, 92. In those days, Gaurarti means Sunday, 12:30 he will come, until 2 o'clock he will be dancing, 12:30 to 2. And he would teach personally how to dance. We would be making circles. Many times in circles we have danced with Maharaj also. You know, Maharaj would be one of the people who teaches dancing, how to dance in the center. And then he would dance like this, and he would dance in the center for some time. Then they would move towards the deity and go backwards. It would be amazing experience. So we would come for the Gaurarti also. Gaurarti would participate, and then the Sunday lecture. And the last kirtan was the best part of the Sunday program, where he would sing the melodious tunes like, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I am still stuck up in the old tunes. That's why I don't leave them. Because whatever experience I got in those days, now so many new tunes have come. But those days in which I was growing very young, so those tunes, when I sing them, I remember those old days, like golden days. So he would sing such tunes, many, many classical tunes, and it was very wonderful. It was very, very heartrending. Ajit Gaurang Prabhu, myself, and Paramahamsa Prabhu, and Nimai Pandit Prabhu, four of us used to go together every Saturday. So Radhanath Swami is saying, I observed over a period of time, in the beginning, his kirtans were attractive, his dancing was attractive. But then I understood that there is something deeper. Like we went to Pune Yatra for the first time, when I went for the Pune Yatra, there were just 60 people were there, 60, 70 people were there. In those days, it was 93. Maximum it must have been 60 to 70 people. It was small crowd in the building. So those 3 days, that camp was very amazing experience. Just like we have a today camp, there were many programs, very enlightening to the intellect. At the same time, the kirtans and the dance and the personal association we got, long, long question answer sessions. So he was just giving himself completely. And many, many questions were clarified in that. All the doubts were clarified. So 2-3 years, we used to get a lot of time. So one statement he made, Krishna conscious philosophy cannot be practiced unless it is packaged in a family atmosphere. This is famous sentence of Maharaj, which he has said many times. So he said once in Brahmachari class in Chopari temple that our temple should be like a family. The congregation, all of them should feel like brothers and sisters, and the Brahmachari should feel like brothers with one another, and everyone should be in a mood of helping one another, cooperating with one another. And it should be just like all of you in your family, you get so much support, right? Like, you know, father worries about sons and daughters, engagement and job and everything. So this is one essential difference I can say that I found when I went there, even amongst the devotees. People having concern for one another, worrying about one another, that way they talk to one another was like single family. Another thing I found in his Maharaj's preaching to congregation once, he said, the whole lecture was centered around this theme. I am first a devotee, then a businessman. And Shishya Radha Gopinath should be your life and soul, he told them. These two things. He said that first, all of you, he told Mahaprabhu Prabhu, Naji Prabhu, Krishna Prabhu, they were all there in the lecture. Small group was there. And Maharaj said, you should never think you are a businessman. Who are you first? First, I am a devotee of Krishna. Then I am a businessman. All other things come later. And then he said, Shishya Radha Gopinath are your life and soul. You should consider this. This is the reality. So that was very touching. And congregation grew up in the same way. With that understanding, now the congregation loves Radha Gopinath so much. And the kind of dedicated festivals they celebrate, the kind of dramas they do for Maharaj and everything, you can see. So, and uncompromising in sadhana, I never saw anywhere. I mean, I saw in Chapati in the morning program, that really touched the most. And in this way, Maharaj had a personality where he has such a particular type of personality where he touches the lives of many people. And I saw that all these people have complete faith in Maharaj. This is one very important thing. In any place when all the, every one of them, especially privately when you meet them, they had such appreciation and glorification and respect. That actually makes us also develop respect for someone like that. So, I grew the most in my visit to Chapati. Although in the early days, it was an intellectual platform. I was arguing and learning and understanding. It was going on. But something called as bhakti started oozing out. You began to understand what is it. Only when I personally met Radhanath Swami and heard his kirtans and heard his lectures, saw his personality and my personal meetings with him and asking questions. So this gave me the realization of that famous verse. Tarko Patishasudeva Vibhinna Nasa Vrishyasya Matamina Vibhinnam Dharmasya Tattvam Nihitam Guhayam. The dharma is actually lying in the heart of a devotee. One has actually learned from a very great devotee. Mahat Krupa. When that Mahat Krupa came, then Krishna consciousness became a little more clear. And Gauranga Prabhu was my most favorite friend amongst all the friends in IIT. And I was there. Because not only he was... see, it's an undeniable fact that you develop friendship with someone who speaks your language. Although we say you should not speak in any other language other than English. In IYF, we made a rule that everyone should speak in English. But certainly you have some bodily affinity to people who speak your language. So Gauranga Prabhu used to speak in Tamil. So he was used to speak in Tamil many times. So in IIT, we used to meet. And he used to bring box to my office, to my college classroom when I was doing laboratory work and all. And as I said, we develop in spiritual life not only by reading philosophy. That is only one small part of the whole thing. Actually, spiritual life growth is based on inspiration that we get from different devotees. We get from the spiritual master, we get from seniors, we get from juniors, we get from equals. And I feel the people who affect us the most are the equals. They have a tremendous influence in us. If you see any equal who is very surrendered and very submissive and practicing very wonderfully, we can take their example. Sankirtan Prabhu is one of my favorite devotees in Chapati. Sankirtan Prabhu, and because they all joined almost at the same time. Sankirtan Prabhu had joined one year ago or so. So, Gauranga Prabhu and myself, we lived in Pune together. Living with equals, there is no greater fortune in this world than living with equal devotees. So we lived almost some 6-8 months together, I think, before I joined. So those days were the days of rapid growth in Krishna consciousness. That is the reason I emphasize that devotee should preach. Because in those days, every morning and evening we used to wear white dhoti kurta. And daytime we would be wearing pant shirt and go to office. Of course, office used to go with tilak and kantimala, everything used to go to office. There was no problem at all. I used to preach in the office also. So the morning and evening we would wear dhoti kurta and we would go and preach together. We would go home to some houses, to some temples, to some student apartments and used to preach. And when you preach, you get the best realizations. You face difficulty, you organize the program, you understand how people are refusing to take to Krishna consciousness. And so all those things give you an idea how wonderful it is. And also preaching with a God brother together gives you tremendous strength. I used to play Kartal and Gauranga Prabhu used to play Mridanga. So we used to go together. And many people like that. So whenever I would go alone, they will say, please come with that devotee, one more devotee, bring him also. So, all of you, many of you staying in the bases, you are living with many of your equals. And preaching together with them, you will grow very, very fast. And Gauranga Prabhu is so humorous. Many times he would do many playful pastimes. So I will say one thing and I'll conclude my talk. Many other devotees are there to speak. So we were living, of course, in a place called Satyam Shivam Sundaram. That's a building near Akrodi station. So we were living there. So Gauranga Prabhu he was working with Kirloskar Oil Engines. So he never wanted to work. But I had called up, I know that if I call him, he won't come. I had told him that I am staying in Pune now, preaching in Pune. Why don't you come? I asked him once and he didn't agree. He said, I have decided in my life never to leave Chapati. He said, I am lifelong, I am going to live here only. Then I said, you have to go to job. Devanpu had told us. He said, okay, I will go to job from the temple. That's what he had said. So then I did a trick on him. I called Devamrit Prabhu and told him, Prabhuji, tell Gauranga to come to Pune. I know I am preaching alone and I have too many programs. I have 8 programs a week. I would like to give him 4. You know. Then Devanpu called Gauranga and instructed him to go to Pune. he came to Pune. Sometimes when you can't do it, then you go to higher authority. So then he came to Pune. He said, hey, Radhesham, what did you tell Devamrit Prabhu? I said, no, I didn't tell him anything. I said to give some support in my preaching. I said. So he came to Pune and he was telling, see, if you want me to stay with you, then every weekend we have to go to Bombay, he said. I said, agreed. So during the week we used to go for preaching. He was working in Kailaskar Oil Engines. So morning, actually when he came and saw the vessels and everything, it was two small things. He said, what are you cooking? It's like, you know, children playing with toys. You know? Then that time Sudama Prabhu was in the Mathur and Platt company. So his name was Nirmalay, Sudhakar Nirmalay. So he used to come. So he used to call him, Nirmalay used to call him. So he asked him, hey, this is what this fellow cooks in this? You know? And Sudama Prabhu said, I also told him, he's not changing, he was selling. So they both formed a team after that. They went to market and brought big, big bartans, big vessels. And they would make, so he was selling every day, twice a day, chapati, rice, dal, sabji. Everything has to be there. And also, you know, whenever you make khichdi, there should be lemon, otherwise no khichdi. So he was very strict about it. So he used to make morning khichdi and for afternoon we would carry rice, dal, sabji, chapati, and then evening also rice, dal, sabji, chapati. We could complete, but it would take so much time it will take to cook all of it. But he would be doing very patiently. He and Sudama Prabhu would cook. So I would only cut sabji and wash pots. I would help like that. So problem is morning to cook, you can imagine. You have to cook khichdi also and you have to cook rice, dal, sabji, chapati. Can you imagine? All these things. So his bus would come at 8:20. And every day, the bus has to put a horn for him. You know, they would wait for him, putting loud horn. And he would be, you know, changing his dhoti kurta to, you know, he would wear the pant and put his shirt like on shoulder, carry his shoes and lace on one hand. Running. You know? He would board the bus and then only he'll put the shirt and everything. You know? Yeah. And he would go to company. So every day evening he will tell me a little bit about his boss. How his boss is a boredom. You know? So he said, till now I am researching a place in my company where I can peacefully chant. You know? So then he located a place in the company, some, you know, fourth floor terrace, where he said the nice shade also is there. You can peacefully sit and read Leelamrit and you can do chanting also there. So he would go to the top and he would be chanting almost, you know, nice additional rounds chanting and reading Leelamrit. And one day his boss caught him. Actually his boss didn't catch him. He thought he was caught. He wasn't caught. So when his boss came to the top, immediately there was one table in the top, he just put his bead bag into the table and book and he stood up and said, sir, sir. And the boss just came to him casually and said, I was just searching for you. So nothing serious, you know, there is some little work, you come and meet me, he said, and he went away. So Gauranga was not very happy in the job. He was fed up. He was telling, you know, what is this? He said, I'm going to job only because I can read Leelamrit there. Otherwise, no use. Yeah. So he was like that. So with Gauranga Prabhu, I had a very, very great time. He was a very, very straightforward person. Very frank. He will never hide anything. He's very, very bold spoken. And very rare to have such a good friend. I used to sing very nicely, preach very powerfully. So we used to go to many, many homes together and preach. We went to Negadi Krishnamandiran. We spoke. His mother once came. When his mother is in Bombay, Gauranga will come to Pune. When she comes to Pune, he will rush to Bombay. And he'll put me in between. His mother came, he said, Rajasthan, now you have to tackle her. Huh? So that was a very nice experience. So there are many devotees who have been instrumental. Actually, for me to join, I wasn't very keen to join immediately, because I was very happy preaching in Pune. I thought, let some more years go, preach. Krishan Prabhu inspired me to join, and also Gaurang Prabhu and Devan Prabhu, while they were going in a car in Bombay, there was a small accident. After which Gaurang Prabhu called me and told me, Radhesham, I take it as Krishna's call. I'm joining the ashram now, so you may come whenever you want, he said. And next week I was in Bombay. I also joined. After that, it was February 8th, 1994. Yeah. So we joined after that. Actually, many devotees touch our lives, and from different devotees we learn different things. So what I expect from the other devotees also is, you should speak some practical events that happened in your life with other devotees. Need not necessarily be one. It could be more than one. Actually, from Sankirtan Prabhu, I learned how to speak calmly. Even now, I have not yet learned. Sankirtan Prabhu would speak very, very soft. This was a strange thing for me. When I went to Chaupati, you ask him anything, he will very, very softly. You ask him anything, he will give very... just, you know, very... It was very extremely soft, like a feather. Isn't it? For me, it was like diametrically opposite to my nature. So you learn from so many different devotees, so many things. So every devotee has something valuable for us to teach. Actually, Devan Prabhu used to calm me down. Whenever in the ashram also, when Devan Prabhu say something, I will give a big laugh, ha 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 ha. And Devan Prabhu said, no, come, come. You will say like that. Yeah. Actually, we are used to laughing, you know, with a very thick throat, you know, ha 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 ha, like that. So I would say, actually, when he says like this, then I would begin speaking slowly. And Devan Prabhu, I was telling, you know, that boy, it will increase again. Volume will go up. And Devan Prabhu would feel uneasy to correct anyone. So he will just, like that, he will say, you know, very softly. You know. So, it was so wonderful to be with so many devotees. I like the austerity in Chaupati temple, because, you know, night you take khichdi and you lie down in that wooden this thing. It was like a cot, simple cot, and the life was very simple otherwise. So it was like spiritual world to go into the temple hall and take darshan of deities with devotees. The devotees' life becomes totally different. That's why I was telling you, from my father and mother I learned some religious principles. Prabhupada books are so powerful. Bhaktivedanta purports are the most enlightening. And Krishna, as Prabhupada says, Krishna and his energies, and Krishna in his multifarious forms, you learn all these things thoroughly in Prabhupada books. But we have to see a living devotee. Like I said about Maharaj and Devan Prabhu, unless we see living examples, we cannot understand the aspect of Radharani. Krishna is master, Radharani is servant. So to understand the mood of Srimati Radharani and gopis, we really need to see the servants who are serving in that mood. So when I think about this, I really become frightened in my life that I'm not able to set a good example. Because our example is taken seriously by many people. So we have to set a very high example for other people. Because people learn more things by seeing than by hearing. More things are caught than taught, it is said. So it is for myself and for others, because I learned many things by seeing there. Before that, I was intellectually learning many things. But when I met these devotees, I actually saw and learned many, many things from them, from their behavior with one another. Actually, if you see a small trace of kindness in me, that kindness has come from Devamrita Prabhu. I never knew to speak to people like this. So if at all there is any kindness in my preaching, especially to new people, if I am careful, that's only because this is the way Devan Prabhu would preach. Yeah? If you see him, how he would encourage devotees in their Krishna consciousness, how he would encourage us to chant more rounds. Yeah, he knows the art. Actually, devotees like us, we have to set such an example that if we tell people to do anything, even before you tell them, they would do it. It should be like that. That kind of character and integrity he exhibited. So I would request other devotees also to speak from the example of many devotees and don't pull me all the time. You tell the names of other devotees with whom you experience. And that would become very enlivening for everyone. Okay? Shri Prabhupada ki.